Welcome to our Sunday message for Sunday, the 3rd of August, 2025. We'll be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, and I'm going to read the well-known parable of the sower. That's Matthew, chapter 13, from verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He has ears to hear, let him hear. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that your word will be opened to us by you, Holy Spirit, the great teacher. You inspired these words, ensured that they were recorded, so that we could read them to this day. May they achieve in our hearts that which you purposed from time immemorial, as we open our hearts to hear you speak. In the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen. Praise God. The title of this message is Good Ground. The other day when I was praying, the Lord said these words to my heart. The discussion was around the blood and the word. And what he said very simply was that the blood will cleanse you, but the word will change you. The blood can cleanse you, but the word is designed to change you. Now please, that doesn't mean to say that the word doesn't wash us. The Bible speaks about washing of the word. Neither does it mean that the blood doesn't make a big difference in our lives. Of course it does. But if I understand correctly what he was saying, is that in your and my walk on this earth as children of the living God, we need to allow these two dimensions to operate in our lives with this understanding. There is a difference. For this reason, I believe he instituted the sacrament of Holy Communion. This bread is my body, and this cup is my blood. The bread speaks about the word. You think about the old tabernacle, the show bread was there. But the blood speaks about his grace, his cleansing. I always enjoy thinking about that when we take communion, when we take the bread, it takes a bit of time to chew it. We have to do something. But when we take the blood, the wine, we just receive it. We swallow it. And there's a connection and a pattern here that I'd like to look at for a bit. I remember many years ago in the village where I lived, there was a church that I had some dealings with. But they were quite famous for having wonderful services, especially on Sunday evening. And their wonderful services took the pattern of everybody ultimately ending up at the altar, weeping and sobbing before God, doing business with God, as it were, having an experience with the living God. And then, sad to say, come Monday, the few of them that I had dealings with would go straight back to the old lifestyle, to their sin, almost like pigs to the trough, only to next Sunday come back and crowd out the altar, weeping and beating of the breasts, sobbing before the Lord, asking for forgiveness, and come Monday, off they go again. Needless to say, with that pattern going on in people's lives, they don't really go very far forward with God. Now, this is the point I'm trying to make. You see, it's good to go to God and repent, as it were, and wash ourselves in his blood. Every one of us needs to continually come before God and allow his blood to cleanse us. By virtue of the fact that we live in this contaminated world, it is inevitable somewhere along the line, you and I will live below the standards God expects of us. And that's why communion is an ongoing thing. We need to do it regularly, yes. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for His grace. We can always go boldly in our time of need to the throne of grace and be cleansed. And that's a very precious procedure. However, you see, that's just one side of the coin. The other side is we need to allow His word to work a change in us. In writing to the Philippians, Paul speaks to those of you who are mature. Follow our example. Follow my example and the example of the leaders. Implying that there is a stage where, like children, they mess up, they continue to mess up. And that's what's expected. Mother has to wash them regularly. Yes, we understand that. However, there must come a time as children of God where we move beyond that. Not that we never need to be cleansed, as I've mentioned, but we need to grow. And that's where the word comes in. And we need to grasp that it's critical for this growth to take place that we have the right approach to the word of God. Now, back to the parable of the sower. The Lord goes on to explain to his disciples when they asked him what on earth he was talking about. He explains that the seed is the word of God. And when we read this parable of the sower, I don't know if others are like myself. I suspect that we all are. But in the past, I would make this, can I call it a mistake? Reading that parable, we subtly divide people into categories. Those that the word just falls by the wayside, those that are in stony places, and those who have no depth, and those who dwell among thorns. In other words, we categorize people. But subtly, deep down, something says to us, no, but you're not like that. We're not like that. I'm not like that. I'm good soil. See, I'm good ground. Now, I'm here to say that the tendencies displayed by these different classes, as it were, of people who hear the word, those same characteristics, in greater or lesser measure, are displayed in all of our lives. And what the parable is saying is that if you and I want to produce an abundant harvest, and I'm sure any child of God in his heart of hearts wants to, the message is be careful of these attitudes which can so easily creep into our lives and will subtly stop us from growing, you see. We end up relying just on his grace, on his grace, on his grace, but we don't let his word change us. To go back to that church that I spoke about, what I'm saying is, I don't think it's necessary for everybody in the whole congregation every Sunday to crawl up to the altar and to repent with weeping and wailing every week. It might be necessary on occasions as the Holy Spirit moves. And yes, we take communion, we cleanse our hearts before God, but it doesn't have to be such a big thing, as it were, if we are growing in Him. I hope you're grasping my point. But what we need to do is just look at these various attitudes, let's call it that, rather than classes of people, various attitudes that if they creep into our hearts will prevent the very words of life working a change in us, which God so desperately wants. The first one is speaking here about seed that falls by the wayside. What that means is, if I can describe it this way, a lackadaisical attitude towards the word of God. The word of God comes our way, we might say, oh, that's very nice, and we pass on. We don't take the word of the living God seriously. The Bible says that we need to receive the word of God with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean every time we open the Bible we need to fall on the ground and shake in terror. No, not at all. The attitude is, for want of a better word, respect, deep respect. When the word of God comes our way, we need to cultivate an attitude of careful attention. Careful attention. Many men of God, I'm sure, will tell us, and I've had this experience myself, where in teaching the word, in endeavoring to communicate the word of God, you have people that regard it as perhaps nice to listen to. Some just fall asleep in the whole process. Others don't bother to come and listen. Now, not to say that every word that proceeds from the mouth of the preacher is gospel truth. We understand that. But what's missing is a reverence for God's word, a respect. When that word comes our way, we need to give it attention. We need to attend to his word. Does that mean we receive every word that everybody says? No. We've been through this before. We need to discern. But we need to discern. I remember I was in a church, a big church at that stage, and a ministry visited that church from the United States, a ministry couple, and the emphasis was on marriage and how people need to grow up in their marriages. And I'll never forget that they arrived at this church, this big church that was blossoming and flourishing, and they tried to share their message with the church. But there was a completely disrespectful, almost, approach to what they had to say, especially amongst the young people. I noticed they just laughed it off and, as it were, got on with what they were doing. And that couple, I could see, got very upset about it and eventually just quietly left. It reminded me of Paul the Apostle. There he is in Athens, and all these intellectuals gathered to hear, as they called it, a new thing, you see. And he explains the way of salvation to them, goes to great lengths to explain the unknown God that they were aware of but didn't worship. And their response to him, by and large, there were exceptions, but the response was, "We'll hear you again tomorrow." Can you pick up the sentiment? This will be a nice thing to tease our intellects. We'll just listen again tomorrow. Well, Paul got fed up and he left. He didn't bother to be there the next day. Why? Well, you see, his seed, in most of the cases there, some did repent, yes, but that seed was falling by the wayside. That seed was there, but because the attitude was wrong, the enemy was able to just snatch it from their minds and leave them to go into destruction. Can you see? I've had that experience in my early years when we heard the gospel on the odd occasion. Our family was very good at ridiculing the Christian faith. We believed it was only for the weak, a crutch for the weak. Well, I've subsequently learned. But the point is, the seed came my way, but because of my attitude, it fell by the wayside. And birds of the air were able to just steal it from me and leave me carry on my path to destruction. So be careful. When teaching comes our way, respect it, discern it. Eat the fish, as I say, spit out the bones. But that which is in the word, when you and I read the Bible in the mornings, the right attitude, the best way I can describe it is to, in a sense, read it on our knees. Read it on our knees. I'm not talking about getting on our knees physically, although that can help. But you see, we humbly approach his word with fear, with reverence, with awe, knowing that that word is there to help us grow, to help us produce fruit. If we don't respect it, it'll fall by the wayside, and by the next day almost, or even in a few hours, it will have been forgotten. What will have happened? The birds of the air, the demons around us, would have snatched that word away from us and prevented us from growing. So when the word comes our way, we need to give it attention, pay attention to his word. The next attitude, if I can call it that, is stony places. Now, the point about this is stony places is a hard heart, a resistant heart, a stony heart. When the word comes our way, thoughts arise in our minds like, oh, well, we know somebody else tried that and it failed, or we've done that before, it's not really true, or God couldn't possibly do that. When you read about it, people coming back from the dead, Christ walking on the water, a hardened heart, a stony heart, reads that and subconsciously even rejects it and says, oh, well, that was for those times, those ancient times. But not now, of course. Now we've got doctors, medicine, and we don't need that really. That mumbo jumbo almost. That's an example of it. A hardened heart, a stony heart, a heart that rejects, resists. When you and I find ourselves hearing the word and something in us rejects, resists, be very careful. Be very careful. Why? Because that word will not get an opportunity to find root. And then it says something interesting. When the sun was up, notice that. When the sun was up. Does the sun sometimes rise or sometimes not rise? No. As regular as day and night, the sun will rise. And that's speaking about the enemy coming to take that word, to challenge that word, to challenge us because of the word. You see, when you and I receive the word, the battle is on now. If the enemy hasn't been able to, as it were, let that word fall by the wayside, and we receive it in our heart, his next function is to resist us, to come against us. Why? To snatch that word away from us. Perhaps we trust in God for our healing. We hear a word about healing. Amazingly, but not really amazingly, the next day our symptoms come back with a vengeance. What is that? What is that? It's exactly what we're talking about here. Can you see that? When a person hears the word, we don't have root in ourselves. We don't commit to that word. We don't make a decision based on that word. We recognize it for what it is, the word of God, and we say in our hearts, it must be so. Then tribulation comes. All right? And we only endure for a while. Or persecution. Amazingly, we are thinking about serving God, of accepting Christ as our Lord. The next day at the office, somebody says, oh, you're not going to become one of those foolish Christians, are you? Uncanny, really. Happenstance, if you can call it that. Nothing of the sort. It's the enemy trying to take that word from us, snatch it from us, that precious word that can bring life, healing, health, prosperity, all these wonderful things. Can you see this attitude in our heart? For a long time, I was very skeptical about miracles and any minister that professed to operate in signs and wonders. There was an attitude in my heart. I think it was jealousy, actually. Amazingly, I didn't see many miracles. Not surprising, is it? Can you see? My heart was hardened. Took time, maybe a few encounters with sickness myself, for that hardness to be broken. In respect for his word, God is the God of healing. The third area is one that I think affects every single one of us. Thorns. The thorns that spring up. Agriculturally, what happens? The seed tries to grow. But then what happens? A stronger plant comes up, a more resilient plant, a plant that grows a lot easier, comes around, steals all the nutrients, steals the sunlight. How difficult is it to get grass to grow underneath a tree? The tree is absorbing all the water. Can you see? That's the imagery here. And we all have this challenge in our lives. We hear the precious word of God, treasure from heaven, and then the battle is on. Our time gets consumed with the cares of this world. We hear the word challenging us to change our lifestyle, and then what happens? Along comes our favorite temptation, and in our heart we say, well, the word's precious, but I'll put it on hold for a while. How many of us have done that? What is that? We're not in a category of people that consistently are growing amongst thorns. Whoever we are, the thorns will always be there. Can we see? Those thorns are out to do what? Smother the precious word of God. The life-giving, the life-breathing word of God. Especially in today's life. The pressures of life, the cares of this world, the cares of survival. The attitude is almost, well, that's all very nice, but right now I've got to do A, B, C just to keep my head above water. That would all be very nice, but not now. It would be very nice to go into the ministry, yes, and to serve God, yes, yes, yes. And we're all called to do that in one way or another. But that's for somebody else. Right now, I've got to keep myself fed. And yes, we have to work. We have to do these things. No one's saying that we live in an alternative universe, not at all. But what is the danger? Allowing those cares to smother that which God wants to birth in our lives, the very substance that can change us from within and lift us up above our circumstances. That's God's desire for you and I, you see, to live above, victorious. Look at the life of Christ. Did he have the cares of life on him? Very much so. Very much so. The people on the earth, under the inspiration of the devil, were out to get him. His life was threatened not only by people but by nature, by wild beasts. Many occasions his life was threatened. He was under tremendous pressure. And yet what? He lived above it, you see. Why? He had communion with his Father. The living Word was in him, changing him. So I'm encouraging you and I to have this attitude, or should I rather say, cultivate this attitude. Let's not read a scripture like this, a case in point, and just say, well, that's very interesting, but I don't have to worry about that because I'm not really like those other people. I'm good soil. See, I'm good ground. We don't vocalize that, but subconsciously, that is really the enemy snatching the word, you see. It applies to somebody else, but not me. No. My brother, my sister, it applies to you and I, equal measure. Be careful of these things. Never lose our respect for the word of God, no matter how well we might be versed in the Bible. I remember meeting an individual, and his statement to me when I was talking to him about the Bible was, oh, I've read it. I've read that. Now, what was the implication? Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. No need for me to read it again. With my superior intellect, I've read all its truth. There's nothing more that it has for me. Well, that's very short-sighted. Anyone who has studied this Bible with an honest heart will know that its wealth, its depth is endless. And the moment you and I come to the place where we think, oh, well, I know that, that's when we're in big danger. The enemy is just about to snatch the word. When we have the attitude, oh, well, that sounds very good, but it can't be true, really. I mean, God saying that, whatever you say, you can have, really. Right there, hardened heart, snatching the word. God won't be able to do what we want, because why? His word isn't found in us, you see. Very important. It's very subtle. And when we are saying to ourselves, well, I'd like to do that, but you see, right now, I've got to go to this, I've got to do that, maybe one day I'll get right. No. That attitude is allowing the thorns to grow up around us and to drain that word from us. And not only the word, but life from us. Keep putting something off until tomorrow, in a sense. Tomorrow never comes. Why? Because when we get to tomorrow, tomorrow is today. Can we understand this? Let the word of God affect us daily. Implement it with fear and trembling as much as we can, according to our limited understanding at the time. But let the word do its work. And yes, we will fall from time to time, but thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. The blood is there, in a sense, to pick us up and help us get on again. But we can't rely on a Father to continually pick us up and not try and learn to walk for ourselves. And that's what the word is, learning to walk for ourselves. In this Christian walk, we have to strike the right balance between letting God do what God can do, but at the same time, doing what he expects us to do. And you see, as we push from our side and God reaches down from his side, we meet in the middle, and that's when we can enjoy life to its fullest degree. I trust that you've been blessed with this word, and I encourage us, receive the washing of the blood on a regular basis. We all need it. But let's attend to his word. Allow his word to deal with us unfettered, unrestricted by our simple, rational human thinking. And let us enjoy the Lord of life and this walk that we have on this earth. In the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.